went on holiday, I started a little kind of a mini series on the Word of God, and we've had a look at a couple of different aspects of God's Word. And this morning we're going to have a look at another one. But while I was preparing, I was just thinking about the Bible. And I was just thinking, the Bible is the most amazing book you will ever read in your life. That is an absolute fact that I believe. You will never read a more amazing book. And I believe personally that if you've read the Bible, if you own a Bible, and if you've read it, you're a privileged person. And I believe that we should never, ever take the Word of God for granted. And there are many people in the world that have never read the Bible, or some that don't even have access to a Bible. And so don't take the Word for granted. Thank the Lord that you have a Bible and that you can read it and understand it. The reason it's such a special book, and actually I believe it's a miracle book, is because it's a collection of 66 books written by 40 different authors, most of whom didn't even know each other, over a period of 1,500 years, written in 3 different languages and on 3 different continents. And if you don't believe this is a miracle book, my challenge to you is go to any library in the world and try and find 66 books written over a 1,500-year period, which means if you've got a book written this year, your oldest book needs to be in the year 523, written by 40 different authors who didn't know each other, 3 different languages, and from 3 different continents, and all 66 of those books must have a common storyline. Guaranteed you can't do that. In fact, I don't think you could find 30 books like that, or even 10 books, maybe 5, that you could find that have some kind of a common thread going through them with that kind of age difference. But that's why I believe, and well, it's not the only reason, it's by faith I believe this is the Word of God. It is a miracle, this book. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord that you can read. I'm sure every single person here is literate and that you have access to a Bible, because many people don't. Anyway, so we've looked at the written and the spoken Word of God, the Logos and the Rhema. We had a look at that a little while ago. We looked at how God's Word gives faith. We looked at how God's Word gives new birth. And this morning, we're going to have a look at how God's Word gives spiritual food to us. And that's the title of this message, God's Word gives spiritual food. The Word of God provides us with the strength and nourishment we need to sustain and to strengthen the new life that He's birthed within us. And when a human baby is born, it can be the most healthy baby on the planet, but very soon after a baby is born, it needs milk. It needs nourishment. It has to take food into its life if it's going to grow. And it needs the right nourishment. It actually needs milk. You can't give a baby a hamburger on day one. That only comes later when you introduce your kid to Macca's, eh? But at birth, a baby needs milk. And God's Word is the spiritual food that gives us nourishment, in which enables us to grow spiritually. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 to 3. Let's have a look at that. 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verses 2 to 3. It says this. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So as a new Christian, the Bible says we are like a newborn baby and we need spiritual milk to grow, to nourish us. And the Lord says we need to cry out for this. Yeah, one of the things that's unique about taste is one of our senses is that taste is the sense where you take something that's external and you put it into your body and it becomes a part of your body. It's different to the other senses. sight, hearing, even smell. What's the other one? Touch. They don't become part of you. You don't put them inside of you. And they, you know, when you eat an apple, your body absorbs that apple and the nutrients in it into your body. And so the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Word of God is like spiritual food that we take into us and let it become a part of our lives. So we're not merely talking about just reading or listening to the Word of God. It's more than that. It's allowing God's Word to get into us, to become a part of us. It's not just I read things. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. Oh, that's an interesting fact. No, I've actually got to crave it. I've got to take it in. We've got to do something with God's Word. Amen? God wants to become an intimate part of our lives, not just there's God up on the throne somewhere. He wants to be intimate. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to live in us. Amen? He doesn't want to remain on the outside. And so verse 2 and 3 of this chapter are talking about us growing like a newborn baby drinking pure spiritual milk. Verse 1, I believe, sets the environment for this thing to happen. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 1 says this: so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. And then, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow. So there's an environment that this takes place in. And you could liken it to an actual baby. When you give a baby a bottle of milk, you have to sterilize that bottle first. You can't give that baby, you can give the baby the best milk in the world, but if you put it in a dirty bottle, it's going to be harmful for that baby. Amen? Yeah. That's just logical. So the environment has to be clean, if you like, or sterile. And that's what I believe is going on here. Get rid of evil behavior. If you are living a lifestyle of evil behavior and you're taking in the Word of God, you're not going to grow spiritually. So what does it say? Get rid of deceit, which is actively or willfully concealing or misrepresenting the truth. You are willfully trying to confuse someone by misrepresenting the truth. Then there's hypocrisy, which is more subtle, where you're basically living in a way that contradicts the truth that you believe. You believe a truth, but you don't live it. That's hypocrisy. If that's how you live, you're not going to grow spiritually, no matter how much of God's Word you take in. Jealousy, which is envy and resentment towards another person. Unkind speech, which in other versions is slander. Slandering other people. Slandering other believers. If you're involved in that, you're not going to grow. And Peter is saying, get rid of it in your life. Get rid of all the stuff, this evil behavior that is going to contaminate or stop that pure spiritual milk from giving you nourishment and growing you in your spiritual life. These things are toxic to us, and it's not the kind of environment that we can grow spiritually in. So that's milk for a brand new born baby. What comes next? Well, as a child begins to grow, the food changes. None of us are still living on milk. Amen? Well, I hope you're not, because you're missing out on some good food. But as you grow physically, your diet starts changing. And the wonderful thing is that God's Word is spiritual milk to a newborn baby, and it is bread for someone who's grown up a little bit more. As you mature, the Word of God is still the food that will nourish you and grow you and sustain you. So the Bible says that it's not only milk for newborn babies, but it's providing bread for us to grow spiritually. Matthew 4:4. Let's have a look at that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4:4 says this, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We don't live by bread alone. We live from words that come from the mouth of God. That is our spiritual bread. And in the same way that bread nourishes us physically, the word of God nourishes us spiritually. Sorry, did I say bread? Bread nourishes us physically. God's word nourishes us spiritually. We live on the bread of God's word. Can I say this? Daily bread. No good having a loaf once a year. You need daily bread. We need to eat every day. If we're not eating every day, we're not going to be healthy. Amen? Actually, this bread that this verse is talking about is the words that are coming from God's mouth. It's the rhema. Remember I spoke about the logos and the rhema? It's the spoken word of God. It's not the written word of God. This must become the spoken word of God. And the thing about the rhema is that it speaks of intimacy with God. You can't hear my spoken word unless you're in this room. If you're wandering in the plaza, you're never going to hear my spoken word. You've got to be close enough to me to hear the spoken word. You have to be close enough to God to hear the rhema from God. You're not going to hear the rhema from God through, I can't think of an example, but you've got to be close to God. It's got to be firsthand, not secondhand, thirdhand. I heard someone say this about God, and I believe it. You need to hear personally the rhema word of God. Amen. So the picture is of a relationship, someone close enough, almost to lip read from God. Bread that nourishes us spiritually is when we hear God speaking to us personally. It's every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so when we read the Bible, ask God to speak to you. Don't just go, okay, well, I'm doing my daily reading or whatever. Ask the Lord to speak to you through His word. Remember we said we have to access God's word. We have to have access to the word of God. Then we hear God speaking to us personally. And then by faith we respond and we give the appropriate action to what God has said. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. All scripture is God-breathed. Wonderful, eh? And it becomes bread to us as we read this word of God and He speaks it to us personally. The Spirit makes it alive and makes it personal to you. One of the things you'll notice is that I'm focusing heavily on hearing God speak through the Bible. And I'm doing that intentionally. God speaks in many ways. And I've heard God speak in many, many ways in my life. Through dreams, through prophecy, through visions, through words of knowledge, through angels, the still small voice in our spirits, many ways. But here's the thing. God will never contradict what is in the Bible, ever. He will never tell you something that contradicts Scripture. He might tell you something that's not in Scripture. Like, for instance, He told myself and Jen to come to Australia. That's not in the Bible. The word Australia isn't in the Bible. It would be nice if it was, but it isn't. But it doesn't contradict Scripture, that which he told us. Do you get what I'm saying? But I'm majoring on hearing God through the Bible. I'm not saying he doesn't speak any other way. But if you major on one of those other ways, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You will. I had to minister to people a while ago, or a person a while ago, who received a word from someone. This was many, many years ago. And it upset them. They didn't know what to do. They were like struggling with it. And when I sat down and had a chat to them, I discovered that the word they received contradicted Scripture. And I said to them, just throw it away. It's not a word from God. They were like, oh, but I can't do that. It's a prophetic word. I'm like, if it contradicts Scripture, it's rubbish. It's not a prophetic word. But if you don't go back to the Bible, you end up in chaos. I had a person once come to me and say they believe that they got a word for the church, that God is releasing everyone in the church from any vow that they've made, because they felt that some people had made some silly vows and now couldn't fulfill them. And I said, that's not a word from God, because God's word said if you make a vow, you fulfill it. I said, does that mean all marriages are off? And he was like, When you throw away the Bible, you end up with chaos. Yeah. I had another person come to me many, many years ago and say they're so confused, they don't know what God's trying to tell them. They went for a walk in the morning, they saw two cats fighting on a roof. They feel like God is trying to tell them something, and they don't know what. I said, what do you mean? No, they went to some conference where they heard about all these different ways that God speaks. And now they're interpreting everything they see as God speaking to them. I said, you realize that God does speak English. He doesn't need to make two cats fight on a roof to tell you something. He can just tell you in English. But this is what happens when we abandon the Bible. Every single word we receive from God should be weighed, the Bible says. And the way you weigh it is against this, nothing else. I don't care whether an angel stands on the foot of my bed and says, this is what God says to you. If it contradicts Scripture, it's gone. I throw it away. See, I'm honest. I'm being dead serious. But there are many Christians who, if that happened, they would take that as the gospel truth and go, well, an angel told me. But it contradicts Scripture. God will never contradict his own word. He is not double-minded. He's not confused. He knows exactly what is in here. He hasn't forgotten any of it. So he's not going to give Joe a word and say something that contradicts this and go, oh, yeah, I forgot. That is in the Bible. Okay, don't worry about it. He's not going to do that. God will never contradict Scripture. The Holy Spirit, who gives the gift of prophecy, who gives the gift of knowledge, of wisdom, is the author of this. Amen, amen. He inspired the people that wrote the Bible. He knows what he wrote. I hope you get my heart. I am not against the supernatural in any way. I'm not against prophecy. I want all of that. I've been healed miraculously of two strokes. I've heard angels speaking twice, almost audibly. I have had so many personal encounters with God, I've lose count. I love that stuff. But I love Jesus and I love his word more than anything. And I want to honor Jesus and I want to honor the word of God. I do want all the spiritual, supernatural things, but at the end of the day, my highest goal is not to have an experience, it's to honor Jesus. Amen. If we do that, we will stay on the path, because the word says there are going to be some Christians that are going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine, every new idea that comes out. Oh, God's moving in some new way. praise the Lord. If it is the Lord, wonderful, I want it. But if it contradicts Scripture, I don't want anything to do with it. Otherwise, we are going to be off with the fairies. And we're going to end up in trouble. You know when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, what's going to be the sign of your coming? What's the first thing he said? Watch out that you are not deceived. And he said it over and over and over. Amen. People that don't know the word of God are candidates for deception. You don't need to be a theologian. You just need to read it. Just read it over and over again. Because if you put it in you, when something happens that contradicts Scripture, the Holy Spirit will go, oh, remember that Scripture. And you go, oh, okay, right. Guy comes and says, hey, God's releasing you from all your vows. No, hang on a minute. There's a Scripture. It says, let your yes be your yes. Don't take an oath. Don't swear by anything. If you've made a vow, fulfill it. Sounds nice, but it's not scriptural. Thessalonians 5:19 says this. Just take it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit and don't scoff at prophecies, but test everything that's said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. We test prophecy with the word of God. Amen. We want more prophecy. We definitely do. So we start our spiritual growth with milk. I don't know how I got onto that. But I feel it's important. We start off with spiritual milk. We go on to bread. And we go even further onto solid food. The word of God is not just milk for newborn babies. It's not just bread for people that are growing in the Lord. But it's solid food for mature believers. Hebrews chapter 5. Have a look at this. Hebrews 5 verse 12. Hebrews 5 verse 12 says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. One thing to notice from this passage is that it is possible not to grow spiritually. It's not an automatic thing. You can be born again and stay a baby all your life spiritually. It's essentially saying, after all this time, you should have grown up. And you should be able to handle solid food, but you can't. The truth is, you are still spiritual babies, and therefore I have to feed you spiritual milk. The basics, you haven't matured. That's what this verse is actually saying. Milk is for babies, solid food is for the mature. And he says the mature are those who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So maturity doesn't happen overnight. You don't go from saved, newborn baby the next day you're mature. It takes training. Training takes time. It takes walking with God. It takes reading the word, absorbing it into you, letting it grow you spiritually, living it out, walking in obedience. Sometimes there's things in the Bible, when I read it, I'm like, whoa, that is a hard thing. I don't know if I can do that. But I don't reject it. I don't just go, okay, well, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do that. I go, Lord, help me. Help me. If this is your word, help me to walk in this. It's difficult for me. I don't know if I can do it, but help me, Lord. That's how we grow spiritually. I don't make God agree with me. I bend my will to agree with God. If I don't do that, my spiritual growth will be stunted. You know, just like a baby, In the beginning, a baby is cute, cute as, all right? But if after 3 years, nothing's changed, as a parent, you go, something's wrong here. This baby isn't growing. What's happening? I mean, I remember when we had our kids, they've got all these graphs and charts, and you've got to like measure your baby, and oh my word, the baby's below the percentile or whatever. You get all worried. I mean, that's just, you know, the baby is growing. Sometimes it just grows slower. But if the baby is not growing at all, something is wrong. And if after 10 years, it's still a one-week-old baby, something is really wrong. Now, if that's what the case in the physical, how do we feel about the spiritual? How do we feel if we are still a baby after 10 years of being a Christian? Does it concern us? Or we're like, oh, I don't care. I'm getting into heaven. Everything's good. It should, something inside of us should go, something's not right here. I need to be growing. I'm not taking in the word of God. I'm not growing in God. Something's off. As I said earlier, that those who don't mature are easy targets for deception. Ephesians 4 says this, Ephesians 4:14. Now wrapping up with this. Then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try and trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. See, immaturity makes us a target for deception. We get blown around by all these weird teachings and tricked into believing lies. So it's a dangerous thing to neglect our spiritual growth. It's something we should be pressing in on the Lord and saying, God, I'm craving spiritual milk. If you're a newborn Christian, call out to the Lord and crave spiritual milk. If you're a more mature believer, make sure you're eating your daily bread. Daily. And if you're a mature believer, solid food. Or is it, oh, I read the Bible, I know that chapter, I've read it all before. All right, let's find something I don't know. And you're flicking. The Word of God must be speaking to you. It's personal. It's never out of date. It never gets old. And if that's you, come back to the Lord and say, God, I've got hard-hearted. I'm no longer loving spending time with you. No longer loving spending time in your word. Help me. I repent for neglect or whatever it is that you need to repent of and get back into the Lord. We've got the Bible. We've got the written word of God. All of us, I'm sure, have the ability to read. We're all literate. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. We've got the Holy Spirit, the author, the best Bible teacher you will ever have. Anthony's a wonderful teacher, but the Holy Spirit, he's the best teacher. Amen? Even Anthony, he kept reminding me. I remember many times Anthony's reminded me that when I'm struggling with understanding the Bible, getting myself all tied in knots, I remember Anthony saying, hey, just let the Holy Spirit lead you and teach you. It's a wonderful thing. We've also got the church. We've got fellow believers who we can talk to and we can help each other. We have leaders, wonderful leaders. These guys are doing their best to walk in the truth. Some of the things we do are not the popular thing, but we're hoping it's the biblical thing. We have Jesus, our high priest, who's interceding for us right now. We have a loving Heavenly Father who gives good gifts from heaven above. We've got a lot going for us. We've got a lot providing a pathway for nourishment and spiritual growth. Let's walk on that pathway. Let's nourish ourselves spiritually with the Word of God. If something is dried up within you, I want to pray right now that the Holy Spirit would stir something of a hunger to hear God. Not just read the Bible and tick boxes, you've done your daily reading, but to hear God personally. Maybe you're sitting here, you've never heard God, or you think you haven't. You're saved, but you can't remember the last time God spoke a personal word to you. I want to pray that something would be stirred up within you so that you press in on the Lord and hear his voice in a fresh way. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Just open your hearts to the Lord this morning, wherever you're at. It's not my intention to condemn anyone or put you down, but this for me is such an important message. It is crucial. In the days that we are living in now, the Word of God needs to be our anchor more than ever. I pray, Lord, that there would be such a hunger and a love for you and a love to hear your voice. I pray that you would draw us close to you this morning. Anyone here who's just feels distant, who you can't remember the last time you heard a personal word, something God spoke to you personally, Lord, I lift up those people and I pray that you would just stir something within their spirit, a hunger to be in your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them right now. I pray that they'd have an encounter with you. You're the living God. You're not like those worthless idols made of wood and stone that can't speak. You're a living God who speaks, who's intimate, who walks with us. You promised Jesus never to leave us, never to forsake us. You walk with us through the deepest, darkest valleys. You walk with us on the mountaintops of life. Your desire is to shepherd us and lead us. And you want to do it in a personal, intimate way. I pray, Lord, that you would touch us this morning. Cause a hunger to bubble up within us, where we want to just spend more and more time reading your word, hearing your voice, praying, being in your presence. Like David, who said it's better to be one day as a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. So often we're so distracted, our hearts are pulled in all different directions, and yet being with you is the greatest thing. Paul said he considers everything a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Lord. I pray that would be our testimony. Everything else is nothing compared to knowing you. Lord, I pray, draw us close to you right now. Touch us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wonderful.